Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John, and we've got some great guests tonight. It's going to be a rocking and rolling time. We've got, of course, co-hosting with us Papa Stro Maestro. Good evening, Papa Stro. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We've got Evan Kidd, who is the, I'm just going to call him the creator of that wonderful movie, Son of Clowns. Evan, how you doing this evening?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Excited to be here.
Good, good. And we've got Alex Sinesi. He has been busy filming his film, Baphomet, in Wilmington, and that's coming along pretty well. He's going to be joining us in about 30, 35 minutes. We're glad to have both of these wonderful writers, producers, and directors with us, and of course, the host of WCW Retro here on VOC Nation, Papa Stro Maestro himself. It's good to have everybody here. As we always do, like to make a couple of announcements. First of all, Comic-Con Stars is growing a little bit. We have just added our first radio station to our network. That is WLSC in Loras, South Carolina, Tiger Radio. It's a very popular station in the Myrtle Beach market, and it is headed up by none other than Banana Jack Murphy, who's a legendary DJ in the Southeast and especially in Myrtle Beach. So we will be dropping in on Banana Jack next week as we have our pre-Christmas party special. And let me tell everybody about the Christmas party coming up. We are going to have on December the 15th the first annual Port City Yule Ball. That will be at Grace on 2nd, our hangout in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. We've got, of course, a headline by Papa Stro Maestro himself. He will be narrating the new upgraded, modernized version. Well, it's hard to upgrade it, but the modernized version of Twas the Night Before Christmas. It will be called Twas the Night Before Comic-Con Christmas. We're going to have members of the Mad Hatters there providing music and a lot of fun. Miller Edgeworth will be there singing. We've got a comedian coming, Andy Bonesteel, who is the artist who is drawing the night before Comic-Con Christmas. He will be there. So we've got a great lineup, a lot of fun. We'll be playing brackets. It's a brand new game. People really love it. That will be upstairs in the game room area of Grace on 2nd. We want to thank Anthony and his staff for having us on December 15th, Thursday night, from 9 p.m. until, 8 p.m. until midnight, the standard hours of a Yule Ball, according to Hogwarts. So anyway, it's great to have everybody here. Papa Stro, the reason you're here and you helped start this episode is you asked me to come to the Kookaloras Film Festival probably 5 or 6, maybe 5 weeks ago, to watch the premiere of Son of Clowns at the Kookaloras Film Festival. It was a wonderful film. And Evan Kidd is the writer, producer, and director. Am I correct, Evan?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, being the writer and the producer and the director, that's your project. How did you – Son of Clowns is the story of – give us the thumbnail of what the story's about, and then tell us how you came up with this really great idea for a movie.
Sure, yeah. So Son of Clowns is about a fictional television actor named Hudson Cash, and Hudson is dealt kind of a bad hand in life, and his TV show, which he's on in a very small role, but, in Hollywood, actually comes crashing down and gets canceled. So he ends up coming home to North Carolina, and amidst coming home and all this bad news, he finds out that his parents, who actually run a backyard circus, have their business in huge trouble as well. So it's kind of a comedy set on the backdrop of a lot of tragedy, and then a lot of that evolves into drama. So it's definitely a big blended movie for sure. So I think a little bit of something for everyone. And then I guess as far as when the idea came to me, I really, had the idea for, a struggling artist type of main character for a while, but just finding a way to marry that to something a little funny or weird like clowns took a little bit longer, but it was more of a challenge to me to say, okay, what's something that's not traditionally, serious or, traditionally, set in a drama, and I thought clowns, and so I kind of put both of those together, and that's kind of how we got Son of Clowns to where it was.
Well, it was really a marvelous film, and when I make this statement please take this as the biggest compliment I can make. It's very much a 1950s, 1960s drama and melodrama. A lot of good acting, a lot of serious thoughts, a lot of things that make you think. And that's what made so many of those films great in the 50s and 60s. And it was really refreshing to sit there and see a film that made you think. Have other people told you that?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten a lot of, you know, response from it about, you know, it's a film that, you know, some people tell me doesn't leave them, you know, right after they walk out of the movie theater, or, you know, finish streaming it on Amazon Prime. You know, they kind of carry around with them for a few days. I mean, as a, you know, artist and creative type and writer, you know, that's all I could ever ask for, is that, you know, people kind of take the time to digest the, you know, story I put together. And, you know, hopefully it changes some lives and, you know, touches some people in a way that, you know, they can apply to their life.
Right. Well, it certainly, you know, I enjoyed it and I thought about it quite a bit. That's one reason we wanted to have you here on Comic-Con Stars. Now, Papa Stro Maestro, you were one of the stars of Son of Clowns. And in fact, your character was the reason, well, one of the reasons that the star's parents' little business, the Backyard Circus, was in trouble. Tell us about your character.
Well, Angus is, yeah, he's had more than his share of bad luck with the circus family and getting injured and to the point where they were trying to get back together for one last time, one last gig. And, you know, Angus is kind of reluctant to get back in the fold because of what happened in the past, but he reluctantly goes along with doing one more show with the circus family. And just as Hudson Cash is going through his trials and tribulations and all that, I feel like Angus was kind of going through some of his own, if you will, in a way, parallel to Hudson's, and to where, you know, I'm not sure if Angus took just as good a path as Hudson did in the end, but you can see, in a way, Angus is kind of going through a lot of hard times as well.
Right, well, you did a great job. I had several people tell me they really enjoyed your role in there. And so, Evan, tell us a little bit about Hudson, the actor who played Hudson Cash, and the parents, the actors that played the parents of Hudson Cash. Who were they,
yeah,
and how did you run across them?
Most everyone I knew either through just a random online casting, or in the case of Hudson's parents, who were played by April Vickery and Eric Hartley, who are both Wilmington natives and they live there. They were actually connected through my last short film, Displacement Welcomed, where April Vickery played the lead role of Norma. And so Eric Hartley was actually her fiance, and so I met him through that. And then I found out he had an interest in acting, and so we just kind of, you know, connected the dots that way. And so it was definitely great to, you know, have that actually happen. And, you know, obviously they're a real life couple and they play one on the movie. So, you know, their chemistry was phenomenal. And then, you know, in the case of Hudson, the character, he was played by Adam Ferguson, who is a local actor in Raleigh, where I'm from, in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so we linked up and then kind of connected everyone together for the movie. And, you know, phenomenal talent across the board, and, you know, including Rob, who's here, you know, did a great job with Angus, and, you know, truly was, you know, fortunate to have such a great cast compiled for this.
Well, I agree with you. And also, the Hudson Cash role won, I think, Best Actor at the Eastern North Carolina Film Festival. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were very excited. That role and the supporting the lead actress role by Anne-Marie Kennedy also was won at the Eastern North Carolina Film Festival. So we were both, you know, all three very, very fortunate to, you know, get that news.
Well, that's great. So and that actress is the one that played Hudson's girlfriend in the movie, right?
Right. Yeah, Anne-Marie Kennedy, she plays Ellie, who is a clerk at a balloon shop, who is very into philosophy and kind of, you know, deep thinking. And so she connects with Hudson when he's kind of in that downward spiral of his life and kind of helps him examine some of what he's doing. And, you know, eventually, you know, they start to date and their relationship becomes more complex as the movie goes on. I won't spoil it, but definitely quite a bit happens towards the end. So definitely would tune in to find that out.
I really liked the way that you wrote the scene where they met and the phone number was exchanged, because that is so real. That is so real life.
Yeah. I wanted to make that, you know, as awkward as possible. And, you know, just, you know, not, he wasn't some smooth talker who, you know, just wows all the ladies. You know, he had to, you know, try to actually be true to life. And, you know, he had that awkward moment where he asked for the number and then there's that silence where you don't know what's going to happen. And so, yeah, I wanted to make this movie, you know, like you said, as true to life as possible.
Right. Well, I've got one for you. And it was only recently I was speaking with a lady, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, I've got your card, but you don't have my phone number." And I was so taken back. I said, well, yeah, I don't. And so then, of course, I started searching around. I didn't have any more business cards to write anything on the back. And I had to, like, unceremoniously go back to the car, get a piece of paper. It was the worst you've ever seen. And I honestly thought about that scene in Son of Clowns when I was walking back to the car. And I said, oh, no, this is what he was
Everything was so awkward and so terrible.
"Well, look, thank you so much." And then she looked at me and said, "Well, now don't let dust get on this thing now." And I didn't know. There is nothing, Rob, Evan, there's no response you can make. Okay, I promise I won't. So, yeah. So Evan, there's one for you for another film, and that's out of real life. So that's what I liked about it. Rob, you and Evan were on, were there working on the film. Talk to us a little bit about how did it go. What were some of the great things that happened, and what were some of the unexpected things that happened? I'll just throw that question out to both of you. I'm sure not everything was perfect, was it, Evan?
Oh, no. I mean, to give a little context, too, the film was shot in 10 days, which for a feature is absolutely unheard of. We had an extremely fast production schedule, and, you know, every day we were flying through, you know, sometimes 20 pages of dialogue. And, I mean, the ratio to what we shot in the time we shot it was just insanity. But, you know, it did create kind of an interesting independent spirit to what we did. And, you know, like you said, everything was most certainly not perfect. And, you know, I'm sure, Rob, you can attest to that for a lot of film sets you've been on. And I know the day we had Rob out the longest, and Rob, feel free to jump in if you have any commentary on this, but I'm sure you remember that hot day we were filming in the field for the circus scene. And, you know, we were basically out there with probably 20, 30 kids and, you know, parents and extras, and then about, you know, 10 crew members and, you know, 5 to 10 main cast members. So, I mean, you know, probably 50, 60 people when all was said and done. And it was, you know, middle of the day, that high noon sun was hitting our back. It was super hot. We were sweating. And, you know, we were just trying to get this scene shot. And it was absolute pandemonium with everyone around. And, you know, it was basically a recreation of a circus. And, and the whole thing was supposed to come crumbling down, essentially. And, you know, very much it did without really having to try, just because of the heat and everyone getting sapped of energy. So, you know, we kind of did what we could with, you know, the time and resources. And, you know, obviously we're a very micro budget film, didn't have a huge budget, but we tried to make everything as, you know, doable as possible. You know, we didn't write any set pieces that were too insane, except for Rob's, actually, where he has a swing set on his back, but that was our one big one for the film. So,
Rob, you had a swing set on your back?
He's right. Yeah, it was such a crazy day on set. I mean, it was so hot. Oh my! I mean, matter of fact, even like looking back at the scene where we're doing like circus and everything, I mean, you can see the heat on our faces at some parts of the film. You know,
it's embedded. Oh yeah. And the sweat, there's like beads of sweat on everyone's beards, and it's insanity.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Everything went great. I mean, it was just, you know, I mean, everything just came into play when we were putting it all together, though. I mean, it was just amazing how in such a quick amount of time and we got everything accomplished.
Yeah, I definitely would attest to that. It was strange that everything did work out. Like, I am saying that there were a few things that went wrong, but more things went right. And I guess that was almost a pleasant surprise considering as much as we were trying to cram into a limited, you know, time slot.
Right. I do want to mention this. I've got some friends that are really fine cosplayers, and I've heard stories when one buddy of mine was out in a field with a bunch of kids. He was in a baseball field, and he said all of a sudden his makeup just started running, and it started dripping onto his costume, and the kids thought he was sick. Oh. It was terrible. Oh. So, yeah. Now, where did you film Son of Clowns?
We filmed across the Triangle in Raleigh, Durham, and Carrboro, and then we also filmed out in Wilmington and in Greenville, North Carolina. So, really, we roved all around the state for a lot of this movie.
And so, once it was in the can, so to speak, once you had all your footage, mm-hmm. how long did it take you to get that edited? And the music was great, by the way. Tell us a little bit about the music, too.
Yeah, the music is actually entirely North Carolina bands and artists, and then our composer, he also is from Raleigh in North Carolina, so we had a very strong local tie to the state. You know, it's where I'm from and where I grew up, and a lot of the actors entirely were from North Carolina, you know, very local cast and crew who actually lived and worked here, and so, you know, it was great to have that tie. And then as far as the actual soundtrack, you can actually hear that. It is on Apple Music. You can look up Son of Clowns, and then there's actually a playlist with all that music on the iTunes and Apple Music app. So if anyone's interested, they can listen to it, a whole bunch of great bands and artists. And so, you know, from the editing standpoint, it took probably about 8 months. So we finished in June of 2015, and then edited. I was the only editor on this also. So I actually edited mostly by night because I actually had another full-time job. I was working in video production at the time, and I was doing that by day, and so I was actually editing Son of Clowns by night. And so once Son of Clowns ended and I was about to do the film festival tour, I left that job, and now I focused on this full-time. And so it's just been a juggling act. And so, yeah, from about August and July after we finished until probably January, we edited and, you know, cut multiple versions. The, you know, original intent was to have the film be 2 hours, but once you get in the editor, you see things that work, you see things that maybe could be improved. And so we actually cut the film down to about an hour and a half, and we've got DVDs and Blu-rays on the website. And on those, you can order them. They actually have about 5 deleted scenes from Son of Clowns. And, you know, a lot of great material, but, you know, just you want to make a lean, tight film in the final version, and so that's kind of what we settled on. But a lot of material to edit, a lot of long nights.
I can imagine. I think my favorite quote about filmmaking comes from Frank Capra, and he said, "If you can't do it in 92 minutes, you can't do it."
Yeah, I could say there's a lot of truth in that. Our final film, without the credits, is like 89, 91 minutes, somewhere like that, and then with the credits, it was like 94, 95. So we hit about that mark, and that's about a good sweet spot. You know, I'm a fan of some, you know, the big movies like The Lord of the Rings and so, you know, Star Wars and, you know, epics like that. And I think, you know, in certain situations that's warranted. But then in other situations, like you said, you know, sometimes short and sweet is the best.
I agree. I mean, we all love to go see The Shining or anything by Stanley Kubrick, 2001.
Sure.
You know, unless you've got the mega budget to enter to keep people's attention and keep them engaged in the film, it's just so hard. But then again, you had a lot of reality. You had a lot of reality, and I kind of liken that film a little bit to. And I don't know if you're familiar with, if anyone on here is familiar with it or not, but it was actually an Academy Award winner in the early '60s called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and it starred Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. And, you know, you can only take about 90 minutes of intense, human drama after that, and you are worn out. So I think
it takes a toll.
There's something to be said.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
I was going to say it takes a toll anytime you recreate something so lifelike, you know. And a lot of people turn to movies to escape from reality. So when you're kind of giving them a big dose of it, you know, some people may like that, but then other people, it might wear them out. And so, yeah, I definitely think in the dramas like that, there's definitely some merit, like you said, to making it short and sweet, but, you know, also getting your point across, not rushing anything.
Right. Well, there were a couple of scenes that I didn't like. They made me uncomfortable. I mean, I liked them a lot, but they made me very uncomfortable when I was watching them because they were. So I'd say to wrap up my commentary on what you've done, I think it was excellent. And so where in the film festival calendar are you? Where are you going next?
Well, I'll preface that by saying I'm glad to hear that you were uncomfortable in some of those scenes. I'm glad to hear that as the filmmaker, because, you know, some of those scenes, man, even I watch them and I know what's going to happen and they're not easy to watch. And so then I'm glad to hear that. And that's the response I'm happy to hear. And as far as our actual film festival schedule, we've actually just wrapped up all of our festivals at the moment. And so we had been touring with the film for a majority of this year in 2016. And so we took it really across North Carolina to multiple festivals. We went to the United Kingdom for a screening. We went to Los Angeles for a screening. We had one in Maryland, one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then obviously the Kookaloris was our final festival. And that one was probably the best one you could imagine to, you know, wrap a hometown film at. And so, you know, we kind of finished everything there and kind of went out with a bang, so to speak. But we actually do have one kind of surprise screening in Chapel Hill that I actually haven't announced yet. I'll go ahead and announce it while I'm here. It's the 13th of December. Yeah, 13th of December at West End Wine Bar, Tuesday evening in Chapel Hill. And that's kind of a special screening we're going to throw with one of our friends, Eric Pruitt, who owns and works at the West End. Yeah, so that'll be kind of a special one-off thing. But, you know, we've wrapped our big tour and very proud of all the work we put into it. You know, we showed this film to quite a crowd. And actually, you know, to make a long story short, now that that's all done, it's completely released. So anyone can see it. It's on Amazon Prime. So you can just search Son of Clowns either on Amazon.com or, you know, Amazon Prime if you have the app on, you know, PlayStation or Roku or whatever. You can search it and you can stream it for free, or you can rent it for $1.99. So it's definitely out there for anyone who's interested. SonofClowns.com.
You know, Evan, well, I have to say that. I have to say, Evan, that I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say thank you for everything with this film. I mean, such a great cast and crew. I mean, probably one of my favorite films I've ever had a chance to be a part of, and honored it. And I just want to say thank you so much for everything. What a great story. And I encourage everybody to get on Amazon.com, Amazon Prime On Demand, and check out Son of Clowns. It's such a great, great film. And I think it will touch a lot of you.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, I mean, Rob was an amazing talent. If there's any filmmakers listening, I mean, hit him up because he's great. He brought Angus to the next level. And any filmmaker would be lucky to work with Rob. He's the hardest worker you could get. But I mean, I'm stoked to have Rob and all the cast and everyone who is attached to this, because, you know, looking at it now in hindsight, it's been an amazing journey.
Well, it certainly was wonderful. Now, by the way, Evan, I've got some bad news for you. Rob, can I go ahead and tell him the story I'm going to tell? On Saturday night, I went out to get a drink. We were watching Buster's Mal Heart, which is a phenomenal film. And so what happened was we both went outside. I just wanted to catch a breath. I mean, there were some scenes in Buster's that were kind of getting to me. So I went outside. Rob went outside, and I came back in. And somebody was sitting in Rob's seat. And I just looked at whoever it was. I said, "You're in my buddy's seat. I'm sorry." And then some guy, I think named Evan Kidd, got up and walked away. And I said, "Golly, that was Evan." You remember that?
Yeah. When I got back, he told me what happened.
That.
I was like, "Oh no, you didn't."
I didn't, dude. I didn't even realize that was you.
Well,
that's hilarious.
I know
you
didn't, and I didn't realize it was you. I just thought somebody was sitting in Rob's seat, and nobody's going to sit in Papa Stro Maestro's seat. You know.
Oh man, that's great. I'm glad you told me that. I had forgotten all about that. But yeah, I remember I sat down and I thought some guy told me to, you know, buzz off because I was in his buddy's seat. So I was like, all right, I'll get another seat. So that's funny, man.
Well,
that is great.
You understand. Nobody messes with Stro's stuff.
Oh man, of course.
I remember
not.
John told me this and I was like, oh no, you didn't. And John was like, oh my God, what have I done? I need to.
Oh, hey, I would have been none the wiser, man. It was dark in there. I didn't know who was who. So. Oh man.
Well, I had to have a little flashback there to realize it was you. And I said, Rob, because when we were leaving the Thalian Hall, I said, Rob, I'm going to wait and I'm going to just tell him on the show because I think it'll be funny after
oh,
it's gone
man.
On.
Yeah.
I was so rude to him, but you know.
Oh, no, you were not, man. I do not even
okay.
Play it.
Okay, great.
That's funny.
Now comes the good question. What can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now?
Sure. A lot of different things are in the works, actually. I've been working on this documentary for the better part of about 3 years called Run of the Picture. And it's just now finishing production. And so basically what's going on is we're editing that. And it's about an Olympic runner who had been training for the 2016 Olympics and kind of his journey while also trying to maintain an artistic passion as a filmmaker. So that's getting edited right now. So that's the biggest thing. And then I'm also doing a narrative project called Home Remedy out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And that's a episodic series, and we're going to do 8 different short 20-minute episodes, and we're going to try and get that up on Amazon Prime later in 2017. So I think that's going to be the next big narrative thing. And then I've also got a little, you know, narrative feature kind of, you know, blended genre suspense thriller I'm working on. So a little different than Clowns, but, you know, trying to do one thing at a time. So, you know, trying not to get too ahead of everything. But, yeah, man, that's a little taste of what's to come. So rocksetproductions.com if anyone's interested in learning any more about it.
That's awesome.
That's great. Be sure to shoot me an email when we're done, and I will get that up on the Comic-Con Stars website. And, you know, it was great
awesome.
Having in this first half we had, you know, Papa Stro Maestro, who is who does a lot of work with me, and I go on his shows, WCW Retro, some, and I enjoy it. And Stro, it was great having you talk with Evan, because I know it was a good experience doing Son of Clowns. And now when you were talking about suspense and thriller, I was visiting some people today, and I saw Night of the Prom, and it was just like you talk about a suspense thriller and people getting murdered
mm-hmm.
left and right at the prom.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Well, our next guest, Alex, are you with us?
Hey, John, I'm right here.
Okay, good. You were very quiet, so I just wanted to check, make sure you were there. Our next guest, and Evan, if you don't mind, if you could stay here just a little bit with us and join in the conversation, is Alex Sinesi. I met him through Red Eye FX. It's a fellow that does some special effects and some prosthetics
mm-hmm.
in Wilmington. He said, I've got somebody you need to meet that would be interested in your Comic-Con. As you know, this is Comic-Con Stars. So I think Alex made his way down to this bar where we were doing a paranormal Comic-Con. Do you remember that, Rob?
Yes, sure do.
Yeah, that was
the
Rusty Nail, right? That was the first time I'd been in there. Yeah.
There were fortune tellers. There was everything. Port City Paranormal was there. I mean, it was really a lot of fun. And then in comes Alex. And so I get introduced to Alex, and we haven't stopped talking yet, have we?
Nope. Not for very long at all. Yeah. And
no,
that's what love.
Only when you're out
too.
Shooting
so.
Your movie.
Yeah.
So tell us the title, what it means, and a little bit about what it's about without giving away the plot line.
Sure. It's called Baphomet, which is it's this deity, demon, kind of a demon, kind of a deity that it has a basis in pagan mysticism, and then it kind of got wrapped up in this whole satanic imagery and Levian Satanism and all that stuff, but it wasn't the original idea of it. Basically, it's a being that is supposed to represent everything in the universe, light and dark, the male and female aspect. And in this movie, it represents sort of the, like, the dark side, the murderous impulses of this young woman who is basically traveling up and down I-95, up and down the East Coast, just picking up any guy who she likes the looks of and seducing them and murdering them. And it's a character study kind of about her, you know, mindset, where she's at psychologically. And it's, you know, it's got murder, it's got bloodshed in it, sure, but it's really more about her as a character and how she got to this place where she's so alone and alienated from society and from her own emotions and stuff like that. So it's been amazing working on it. Dude, Evan, I feel so, like, unaccomplished now, because we've been shooting for 17 days already, and we're only about halfway done with the movie. So
dude, you're doing it the right way. You're doing it the right way. Don't quit.
That blows
my mind. I'm envious.
Seriously, I'm so impressed right now. 10 days,
thanks,
that's incredible. Oh,
I got some gray hair, so we'll see if it was worth it.
Oh, dude, I would have gray hairs if I had any hair at all. Like, I already lost all of it before I started production, so I guess that was a good thing. Yeah.
Well, Alex, I know you're staying you're staying busy a lot at night, aren't you?
Yeah. It's like one of the things they say on indie shoots is, you know, don't write in a ton of, like, night scenes or car scenes or outdoor stuff. And I basically ignored that and did all of that. So it is a lot of night shoots, but it's been great. I was kind of trying to go for, like, a film noir atmosphere. I really love old, like, black and white film noir movies, you know, Raymond Chandler stuff, The Big Sleep, things like that. And I love, like, how you had such deep shadows and such intense contrast and just sort of the atmosphere that brought. And even though we're shooting in color, I still wanted to kind of bring some of that vibe to it. And I also grew up with The X-Files, which was amazing for that, for, like, hiding things in shadows where they didn't necessarily have the budget to show you something, but they could, like, suggest it and have it in the darkness. And that's something we're doing a lot, too, since we are definitely a micro-budget production.
Did I hear you mention The Big Sleep?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. I love The Big Sleep. Bogie and Bacall.
Oh,
that one's a classic.
What a great film. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, I heard you said something to me, and I want to repeat it because there's someone on this show tonight that I think will appreciate it. You said, you know, that Rob Kellum, Papa Stro Maestro, wow, he was dynamite in that role. Brought it to life.
Yeah.
Papa Stro,
you were big
kudos there.
So charismatic in that movie, man. Seriously, your personality jumped off the screen. I really enjoyed your performance, dude. And I haven't really had a chance to talk with you yet, man, but I think I have a role for you in Baphomet. Originally, I didn't have anything written, and I was like, well, maybe I can work him into a scene, but I've been talking with my director of photography about kind of redoing the opening, and if we do what I want to do, which is going to be a little bit crazy, and I might have to raise some extra funds for it, but I might actually have a pretty solid, you know, decent, like, featuring role for you with some lines and a pretty memorable death scene too. So that sounds like fun, man. I would love to get just connected and figure that out.
Hey, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah, whenever you're ready, just get with me, yeah. You know? Sounds cool.
For sure. Yeah, no, I'll let you know. It's we're still kind of planning it out. It's gonna be intense.
Awesome.
I kind of have this crazy idea about wrecking a car in the process. We'll see if I'm able to do that. If not, we can
nice.
Work around it. But yeah, I mean, it is one thing. We've been running on a tiny budget, but I have found that just kind of saying, you know, we don't know if we can do this, but let's just try. Let's see what we can get away with and what we can get, you know, on camera as best we can. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, I've been so amazed by my crew, my cast. They've just been rising to the occasion, and we've got some crazy stuff in this movie. Oh man. Red Eye FX, who you mentioned earlier, John, he did a bunch of amazing prosthetics for this movie. I mean, some of that stuff looks so real. And like, it, my assistant director is this really great guy, really funny, but he can't stand the sight of blood. And I'm like, oh man, you are working on the wrong movie, dude. Every single day, practically, there's some nasty thing. And he's like, you know, standing back there watching the takes, watching the monitor, and he can't like keep quiet. He's like, freaks him out so bad. So I mean, that's really a testament to Red Eye's work. But yeah, all of us have been cringing at certain moments just from stuff he's come up with. Been cool.
Sounds like it is a good time on the set there with Baphomet. When do you anticipate you might have a rough cut for us to take a look at?
Oh, man. You know, we've fallen a bit behind schedule. It's probably going to take longer to actually finish the movie. But I've got a few completed scenes. I need to do some sound editing just to get them into real, like, you know, viewable shape. But I think by January we'll definitely have a good portion of the movie ready to show. I'm so looking forward to that too. Just having people watch it, seeing their reactions, you know, just getting it out there a little bit.
Right. I had spoken with Papa Stroh about maybe helping Comic-Con stars host an evening where people could come in and watch your rough cut and see what's going on and enjoy it, and you can get some audience reaction. So we'll keep talking about that. Papa Stroh, you still up to help us host that one?
By all means, I'm pretty honored, actually.
Well, I think it'll be fun, especially if you're in that opening scene. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Certainly it will be. Well, gentlemen, I guess what I'll do is I'll let each of our two directors, our film creators, I think that's the best thing to do, and our star, I want each one of you to just reflect on, I guess, what you've been through in doing your projects, and I think people would like to hear that. I'm going to first pick on Evan.
Yeah, that's a great question. You learn, let's see, so many things when you do a feature film, and especially one at the micro budget level, like, you know, we were both just talking about. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges you face doing that that you would not face, you know, if you had a big Hollywood budget or, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, coordination with, you know, just simply funding. But, you know, I think it's still extremely important to stress to everyone that it's extremely possible to make a film. You know, it's really on you. And it kind of takes that entrepreneurial mindship to, you know, kind of craft and hone your, you know, idea into something that you want to share with people. So I would just tell anyone, you know, the biggest thing I learned is, you know, literally just do the thing. And that's the biggest lesson is, you know, once you get through it, you'll be so much more ahead. You know, even like I said, as quick as we did Son of Clowns, those 10 days completely remolded and reshaped me as a filmmaker. So I just, you know, anytime you do a film, you come out on the other side completely different. But I would just say, you know, anyone who wants to do it, you know, just look at your films as a huge growing and learning process. And don't be afraid if you don't have budget. Just, you know, do what you can with your resources and, you know, write scenes that are, you know, resource-based and, you know, something that's going to engage you. And just go for it.
All right. That sounds good. I think that's good advice for filmmakers and for life.
Yeah.
You just have to keep going. You
Absolutely.
Certainly do. All right, I'm going to turn to our star in the midst our on-screen star, Papa Stro Maestro. Give us what you think.
Well, I think when putting something together, I mean, it's whether, like Evan said, whether it be high or low budget, it's all about getting your story across and you're connecting with your audience. Because, I mean, in film and wrestling and entertainment itself and in life, we're all intertwined. And everybody identifies with emotion. And if you can bring out a certain emotion in your audience with your story and film, I mean, then you're doing something right. And you have that connection. It's always important when creating anything of that stature to have that connection with the audience where they can identify with your story and follow your story and can identify with what's going on. And I think, like we mentioned earlier in the show, you know, with Son of Clowns, that it had that connection. You know, it had some great scenes, had some funny scenes, had some scenes that made you feel uncomfortable, as we mentioned, just because of the fact that we could identify with that. We know what these characters in this film is going through vicariously. So, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, we're all storytellers, and we, you know, the main thing we all should do is try the best we can to get our story across to the people and have that connection with the audience.
Wonderful words for actors, directors, producers, and everybody. Thanks a lot. And by the way, I want to say one thing before I speak to Alex, because I don't want to forget it. I think I want everyone to know that this weekend you will be at GXW Wrestling, Ground Zero Wrestling, and aren't you getting a title shot at the U.S. Heavyweight title?
Yeah, I'm answering the open challenge for the current champ, Corey Bush. He's a big, big fella. I mean, over 300 pounds. So it would definitely be a task.
That's gonna be some work. I just wanted everybody to know that our own Papa Stro Maestro is going for a big, big belt. And GXW Ground Zero Wrestling, that is on Fight TV. So I hope everybody can watch it, and we'll be waiting to find out if you are victorious. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, Evan, now you have heard two very well-spoken gentlemen of the cinema talk. What do you think? What have you learned, and what are you trying to accomplish with your new independent film?
Oh, sorry, Alex? John. Were you talking to me? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't agree enough with what both Evan and Stro said. I mean, for one thing, you know, you do just run into so many challenges on an independent scale that you wouldn't otherwise, but it is very possible. And cameras, you know, the technology has gotten so good now where you can really make something look incredible, even for just a little bit of money. And I agree with Stro, too, that, I mean, the whole reason that we're doing this, that we're telling these stories, is to try and, you know, just relate something about ourselves to other people, to get people to, you know, stop and, you know, look at this movie that's both entertainment and art and say, oh, you know, I recognize a piece of myself in that, and that, you know, just like uplifts you in a way. So, I mean, I think, you know, those two things hit the nail right on the head. What I would add to it is just to say, as a director, I think what I learned that was just so important is just casting the right people for your movie. Because, you know, like Evan, I came into it as a writer, you know, with this story that had been in my head and characters that were so specific because they were, you know, based on many different people who I had known, you know, in my life that sort of recombined and turned into these very distinct characters. But it's funny, the actress playing the lead role of Hannah, her name's also Hannah, and I don't think anyone will ever believe that I didn't write the role for her, because she fits it so perfectly. And from the very beginning, she just came in and embodied this character so much, so that it's strange. Like, I remember writing the character, and I remember having the character be, like, distinct in my mind, but I can't picture anyone else in the role now. Like, she has completely taken that over. and as a director, being able to sit back and like look at a character you've created now, like being taken to a different level by somebody really talented. That's just the best thing you could hope for. And so I think just, you know, for anybody trying to make a movie, to just really take the time and find people who are right, people who really seem like they could be the characters you're asking them to play. You know, I don't know. I mean, we're talking here about a brutal sociopathic murderer. So maybe that's not the best thing to say about Hannah, because she's actually very sweet. She's a really nice girl, and I don't think she's ever murdered anyone. But she's otherwise, she has so much of that personality, that introspection, that edginess, that dark sense of humor. And, you know, just finding people like that. Nick Reed, also, who plays one of the lead roles, he is just so taken over that character. And he not only like elevates the material, he offers new ideas. And so it's like just taking the time to find the right people. Really, it basically, as a director, your work's almost done before you start, you know. So I feel really fortunate for everybody, you know, that we've cast in the movie, and just that, you know, they've brought so much talent and dedication to it.
That's great. That was a wonderful statement. And I've got to say this, I got the right three people for the show tonight. I've enjoyed it, and I didn't do very much, but it's been great hearing all three of you talk about the films, what you've been doing, and everything. So, again, thanks to all three of you from Comic-Con Stars. I'm going to close with this. Next week, we're going to have our pre-Yule Ball Christmas party show right here on Comic-Con Stars. I've got five or six people lined up that are going to be at the Yule Ball, but I hadn't asked two of them. Now, Evan, unfortunately, you're down there in Louisiana, so if you want to come on up in 2 weeks to Wilmington, that's great. But if you're too busy on your films, that's okay.
Sure. If I'm able to, I'd love to, man.
All right. Well, just let me know.
That's
but
awesome, man. You shooting a film down there? Yeah.
Yeah. Working on a new project developing. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, man.
Can't wait to hear about it. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Right, and then, but Papa Stro Maestro, you're going to be our star in the night before Comic-Con Christmas, and Alex, you said that you would be there too. May I ask both of you to join us for a little bit next week?
Yeah, that sounds great. Sure.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Great.
Good. Well, I will fill both of you in on what we're going to try to do as we get ready for the first annual Port City Yule Ball and all the other great things that come with Christmas. So right now I will say thanks to my three wonderful guests, Evan Kidd, the creator of the movie Son of Clowns, Papa Stro Maestro, premier wrestler and actor, great host, and all these wonderful things, helps kids, works with charities, and just a popular all-around star and great guy. And Alex Sinesi, who is working on his first feature film and doing a great job. I've seen some of the outtakes. They look wonderful, Alex. So anyway, thanks to everybody from Dr. John and Comic-Con Stars. And just know that next week, our Christmas party, our pre-Christmas party show, will also be broadcast on Tiger Radio, WLSC, AM 1240 in Laura, South Carolina. Anyway, it's Dr. John saying good night. Thanks to our guests. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.